Thank you, Jim. Good evening, brothers and sisters. I am I'm excited to be here. I also want to thank Braden and Kim for that song. I would be foolish as a father not to have that emotion as a father to have his son sing, but just the words of the song. If we sit back and listen to the words of that song, that clearly he leadeth me. And I know that that is all of our prayers, that he leads us. That we take steps, clearly, that he has led us. I am, I would ask for an interest in your prayers tonight. I pray that our Heavenly Father would be here with me. I pray that this is his, that I'm only delivering his message. And I think that's always our prayer and always our hope. I am, I feel richly blessed. Richly blessed because I had the opportunity to set through most of the services through Solemn Assembly. Richly blessed because I had the opportunity to set through our sacrament service. And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, and then as we sat and listened to our brother Jay last night, I thought so many times during the Solemn Assembly and last night that that I could have just said, well, that was my sermon. We're done. We can go home. But I hope to kind of bring it all together, at least bring together the thoughts that I have in my mind. I want to start off by our brother Brian read a scripture on Friday night. He read several scriptures, but in the Book of Mormon, one of my favorite stories, or a story that I love, and that story of Alma meeting the four sons of Mosiah. And a story that, as a young man, as a young man that I know, within this church, there are many young men that God will call, that I will have that opportunity to see them, that I will have that opportunity to see many of the brothers that I look up to and that I respect. That responsibility that we have, that we will have a chance to go out and preach amongst the Lamanite people. Or that we'll go out and preach, not just amongst the Lamanite people, but amongst people in different lands. And that we'll have that chance to come back together and strengthen ourselves. Much like we have here. Much like that Solemn Assembly service, that we had that opportunity to come and to strengthen ourselves. In fact, many times during that service, I thought, well, they keep touching on my sermon. And then last night, again, our brother Jay started to speak, started to share and deliver his message. And again, and I'm going to touch on a little bit of that. But I want to remind us of a message, of a few comments that our brother Jay made last night. Because there are points that stuck with me and comments that stuck with me that I think it's important that we remember. And I would ask you to remember as we go through this, is that our brother Jay told us, he said that we can cry out. He can cry out unto God and we can be saved. We cry over our children. Our brother Jay challenged the youth of our church last night. And I know we all cry out for our children. So, I'm going to try to stop being emotional now. I apologize. But I want to talk to us about something a little different, a little different discussion. And I want to talk to us about our investments. Now, I'm going to tell you my testimony real quick because I have to say it, but this sermon has been on my mind for quite a while, a lot longer than I knew that that there would be a chance that my name would be brought up today. And this is a testimony to me. No, I'm not going to talk to you about literal investments, but I'm going to talk to you about investments that we make. Now, how many of you know what ROI stands for? Return on investment, right? And how do we, typically in business, we use a return on investment, and we use that to really measure what we're doing. We do that to measure really a success of a product that we work with, or we measure the success of a business, or we measure the growth that we see within our business, but we use ROI, a return on investment. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about stocks, and I'm not going to talk to you about the business behind ROI. But what I do want to talk to you about is, what is our return on investment? Now, can somebody tell me what makes up a return on investment? When you use that measure, what do you look at? Blessings? Well, absolutely. But when if you look in a textbook and if you look at what is ROI, return on investment, simply it is basically taking growth divided by your investment. And so what I want you to do is I want you to think about that as I share with you some of my thoughts tonight. By taking our investment or taking our growth, I want you to think about the youth of our church. I want you to think about what is our investment strategy for the youth of our church. Much of our spiritual direction truly is focused on ourselves, working towards our growth, working towards our hope and desire. But also, some of our hopes are also for the youth of our church. And so I want to talk to you about our investment for our youth. I want you to think about 1 Timothy. And many times we read from 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in the word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." A scripture that we often read many times, and we're going to, if you're turning to it, please continue, because we're going to go back to that in a minute. But if you think about that scripture, that scripture really, we use it many times when we talk to the youth. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example." Our brother Brian, when he first started talking to us at the Solemn Assembly on Friday night, he started sharing with us that example that we are to set. He talked about that example that we are, or at least what I heard, was that example that we are to those around us. I would suggest to you that it's our time, it's our energy, it's our prayers. I always remember a testimony that was given by one of our sisters. And our sister talked about her son growing up in this local. And she always mentioned the example that she felt was set for her son by the men of this church. And she specifically talked about the example of one man that would walk up to her son as a very young little boy and would always shake his hand and ask him how he was doing. And the example that set, not only for that young man, and that young man knowing that he has someone to look up to, besides just his dad, not only just his dad, but someone in the church that he could look up to. Tonight I want to equate our youth to that investment. For each of us, well, really we put in time. We put in energy, we put in focus to the youth, to the growth of our youth. You go back to the equation, you know, and we talk about that investment or that growth. It's the time and energy that we put, or not the time and energy, but really that growth that we see within the youth of our church. We've seen it. You know, it's one of the greatest blessings that we have when we're at camp and one of the kids asks to be baptized there, or one of them asks to be baptized at the end or at the after camp, or throughout the year. In fact, during camp now, we have a little opportunity where we recognize those young people for that decision that they made. And we recognize them for that and offer to support them in that. The other side of that equation is that cost, and that's the cost that we all give. Now, brothers and sisters, I will tell you that I'm encouraged with the youth of our church. I'm encouraged with what we see. But I'm going to also tell you that I'm worried. I've just got to say this because something that's very heavy on my heart, because I look down the list of kids that could be at camp. Or I look down the list and see the kids that could be at Young People's. It's not for a lack of cost. It's not for a lack of energy. We're competing. We're competing with a world that keeps them busy. I know that. I see that in my own boys. But brothers and sisters, we have a vested interest in the youth of our church. And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I have the answer to how to fix this. But I can tell you that I was very appreciative of the prayers that were sent up this weekend as we were talking in the solemn assembly, as we were talking in the services. As our brother Jay stood up last night and spoke to the young men and spoke to the young ladies of our church and challenged them to pick up their books. Challenged them to prepare themselves. Turn with me to 1 Timothy, and that's where I want to start now. First Timothy, the 4th chapter. I want to start at the 12th verse. I'll read that again. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You know, I pray that example that I set for my boys, or try to set for my boys, or that example that we try to set for the youth of our church, we know they see it. Much like that example and that testimony of our sister gave, or that example of just that one man sticking out his hand and shaking the hand of her son, and how much of an example that set for him. Turn with me to Moroni, the 10th chapter. I'm on page 776 of the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read one verse there, the 15th verse. Wherefore, there must be faith. And if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Again, these points are being that example. That example that we must have faith. There must be faith. There must be hope. Many of us have gone through much of this. How many of you have gone through Financial Peace University, or at least have read some about it? You've seen it, right? Here in the East Local, our brother Mike Smith had walked us through that. And you know, if I could sum up really everything that Dave Ramsey would talk about in that Financial Peace University, I would sum it up in three simple things. And Now he talks about he has multiple steps. I think he has like 6 steps or something like that he talks about. But you know, really, what I see him talking about is, number one, he talks about a priority check. Right? He talks about getting our debt in line, controlling our debt, remembering our core values is really that priority check in my mind. And that's much like that 1 Timothy 4th chapter. Let no man despise thy youth. Our youth are the core. Our youth is the direction. Our brother Joel like to told us at camp one time, we were talking about how the youth of our church, well, they are our tomorrow. And our brother Joel said, no, they are today. And then the second point that I look at from that Dave Ramsey strategy that he talks about is what is our strategy? How do we get it done? And I think there's a great example in Matthew. And turn with me to Matthew, the 25th chapter. I want to read the parable there at the first part of the 25th chapter. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegrooms tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in, and him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That to me is much like that. What is our plan? What is our strategy? What is our direction that we continue to go? I want to do an example because I don't want to distract. But I want to bring an example, kind of bring a little clarity into your minds and hopefully the direction that I'm trying to go. Is that I really think the strength of our church is each of us. The strength of our church is each of our willingness to serve, each of our talents, each of our differences. I will tell you that I'm a very blessed man. I'm a very blessed man because of my wife that I have. My wife and I are very different. And those that know my wife and I, you know that we are very different. My wife keeps me organized. My wife is really the one who gets camp ready. She tells me that, it's really my wife is the one who gets everything ready for camp. And I am richly blessed for that. But I also tell you that because my wife and I are very different, I think that is a real strength of ours. And I think the diversity of my brothers and sisters here in this room is a real strength of our church. Because of the different talents that we have, because of the different strengths that we have. And so I want to draw a little example for that. I want you to look up on the board for me. And with a quick show of hands, we're going to go through this fairly quickly. But with just a quick show of hands, I want you to tell me by raising your hand, how many of you see 16 squares? Okay. Now, how many people see 17 squares? Okay. Does anyone see 17 to, say, 20 squares? How about 21 to 25? How about 26 to 35? Okay, Jenny, what's the top number you see? 26 squares. Okay, very good. Now, I want you to think about this exercise. If we take, I see my brother Cody out here. He's talking to his sister and he's helping her. And if we were to come out into the church and if I were to section you off into multiple groups and you started to work together, do you think you could see more than 16 squares? Brother Jay, do you think you could share with Steve more than 16 squares? Absolutely. Now, at first glance, how many of you looked up there and truly saw 16 squares only? And then by a raise of hands, how many of you truly saw a lot more than 16 squares? Now, I'll tell you how many squares I see, or at least how many I learned after I saw this exercise. But I tell you, I bring up this exercise because I want us to look at the diversity within this group. Now, just because my brother Jim only saw 5 squares, does that mean he's a bad guy? I'm picking on my brother Jim. It doesn't. But that talent, that own way that we look at things is not wrong. There is clearly a right and wrong in many things. But looking at these squares, there clearly is a right and a wrong. But together, we can look at that and we can see and point out how many squares. So let's go through this. Okay, so we have 1. We have 4 across, right? And 4 down. If we fill that up, how many is that? 4 times 4? 16, right. And then there's a big square around the outside, right? So everybody count along with me. 17. We're at 17 now. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. How many people saw 30 squares? Absolutely. We all have a uniqueness. And I bring this out because our uniqueness is what makes us strong. Our ability to look at things and not be afraid to raise our hand and say, this is how many I see. Because I can guarantee you my son did not look back and think negative on anyone because you only saw 16 squares. I'm talking to the young men of our church now. My son needs you. Our kids need you. I talked to one of our brothers that has a young son that he's, I think, 16 years old. His son is away right now, and I know he's worried about his son. We care for the kids of our church, and I know that there's none of us that don't. But we need that investment in them. The final item that I think that really sums up what Dave Ramsey was talking about in his Financial Peace University is really talking to us as parents, is talking to us as adults, is keeping our own discipline. Keeping that responsibility that we have. And I want you to turn with me to Jacob, the 3rd chapter. Jacob, the 3rd chapter, starting at the 8th verse. Nevertheless, the Lord God showeth us our weakness, that we may know that it is by His grace and His great condescensions unto the children of men that we have power to do these things. Behold, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord. How unsearchable are the depths of the mysteries of Him, and it is impossible that man should find out all His ways. And no man knoweth his ways, save it be revealed unto him. Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God. For behold, by the power of his word, man came upon the face of the earth, which earth was created by all the power of his word. Wherefore, if God being able to speak, and the world was, and to speak, and man was created, oh, then, why not able to command the earth, or the workmanship of his hands upon the face of it, according to his will and pleasure? Wherefore, brethren, seek not to counsel the Lord, but to take counsel from his hand. For behold, ye yourselves know that he counseleth in wisdom, and in justice, and in great mercy over all his works. Wherefore, beloved brethren, be reconciled unto him through the atonement of Christ, his only begotten Son. Wherefore, brethren, seek not to counsel the Lord, but to take the counsel from his hand. Keeping our own discipline. Our brother Jay last night made another comment with me, and it stuck with me, and these are not in exact words. But he said, this is a choice that we have made in the Church of Christ. We made this choice. We are now in the time to prepare. I will tell you that my son hasn't made that choice yet. My son's coming because I make him. My prayer is that he makes that choice. Now, that doesn't mean that we're bad parents if he doesn't. But what it does mean is that I think all of us together are willing to make that investment of our time. That we're willing to make that investment of our energy. That it's not just my own child, but it's any child that we know and love. Our preparation is crucial. Not every investment works out, and we understand that. But our brother Joel, when he opened Saturday morning, he read from Revelations, the third chapter. And I want to go to that. You know it, and I think it's been quoted a few times, but I think it's a great reminder to us. Revelations, the third chapter, starting at the seventh verse. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. The door of our youth, of our young youth, of the children, it's open. And we have to step in. They are listening. They hear what we say. Every parent knows that, right? How many times have we been reminded of that as parents? So what example have we set? And I have to say one more comment that our brother Jay said last night. Is that he said that he hoped he lived long enough to see the next generation take hold of this gospel. I consider myself a very, very young man. But I also know that there's young men coming. And that my prayer too is that we make that investment in our youth, that we see them take hold of that gospel. Now I want to talk to the youth of our church. I want to remind you of the challenge that you were given last night. The youth of our church were challenged to pick up the books, to pick up their Bible and to pick up their Book of Mormon. And if it means that you do it to prove us wrong, or try to, okay. You will face temptations, you will face trials, and you know that because you faced them today. Our sister Carrie gave a testimony on Saturday where she talked about a dream that she had. And I won't do it justice, but I'm going to recap it for you. Is that our sister Carrie talked about a testimony where she was awoke and she was taken into the kitchen with her family. And if I remember correctly, the refrigerator was pulled out, or they were told to pull the refrigerator out. And they were told to unplug the refrigerator. And they knew what would happen if they unplugged that refrigerator, the food in it would spoil. And our sister Carrie talked about that going to church on Wednesday night, going to church on Sunday night, that she'd always heard it, and Sister Carrie, I'd heard it too, that that was the time to renew and recharge our batteries. But a phrase that the youth understand today, plugged in. Are we plugged in to the church? Are we plugged in to our books? A great example for the youth and a scripture that I like to read from often, and I'm going to ask you to turn to it, is 2 Nephi, the third chapter. And I would encourage the youth of our church to highlight this, to draw on this. 2 Nephi, the third chapter, starting at the 31st verse. Now, this is Nephi speaking. And I've read this scripture many times, and I will read it many times again. But this scripture talks about, and this is what led up to this, was Nephi, a young man. A young man no different than any of the young men here today. The difference, though, is that Nephi's father had just died. Nephi had had a lot of temptations and trials from his brothers, a lot of challenges in his life. And then he writes this: "Nevertheless, notwithstanding the great goodness of the Lord in showing me his great and marvelous works, my heart exclaimeth, O wretched man that I am, yea, my heart sorroweth because of my flesh. My soul grieveth because of my iniquities." We've all been there. Our soul grieveth because of our iniquities. "I am encompassed about because of the temptations and the sins which doth so easily beset me. And when I desire to rejoice, my heart groaneth because of my sins. Nevertheless, I know in whom I have trusted. My God hath been my support, and he hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness, and he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He hath confounded my enemies unto the causing of them that quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions in the nighttime. And by day I have waxed bold in mighty prayer before him. Yea, my voice have I sent upon high, and angels came down and ministered unto me. And upon the wings of his spirit hath my body been carried away upon exceeding high mountains." Nephi is talking to us. He's telling us exactly the troubles and the trials and the temptations that he faces. And he tells us what he does. "And my eyes have behold great things, yea, even too great for man. Therefore I was forbidden that I should not write them. Oh, then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord hath his condescension unto the children of men, hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep, and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away, and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh?" You see, Nephi right here, Nephi is telling us exactly. Nephi says to us, he says, you know, "The Lord, I know, has blessed me. The Lord, I know, has protected me through all of everything that I've been through." And even Nephi sits here and says, "I face sin. I face trials. Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one hath placed in my heart, to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Why do I get angry when someone offends me?" Why do I get angry when I'm upset with my brother or my sister? I guess as adults we face that, don't we? Awake, my soul, no longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I remember any time I read this verse, I always think of a rock that I used to drive by when we lived in Iowa. And there was this big rock quarry, and I would drive by it going up to the interstate. This huge rock. And I was in a little diner close by there one day, and they had a picture of how they moved this rock. This huge rock. They had 10 big dozers pulling it. And they had multiple big dozers pushing and helping push that rock along. Really, if you tried to move that rock, it's not going to move. And Nephi talks about this. And he says, my God and the rock of my salvation, that solid rock, wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell shut but continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteous before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me around in the robe of thy righteousness? That is my prayer for each of you. That is my prayer for each of us, that the Lord will encircle us about with his robe. O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but thou wouldest clear my way before me, and hedge not up my way, but the way of my enemies? O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to them that ask it. Yea, my God will give me, if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. That is my prayer for each of us. That is my prayer for the youth of our church. This has been heavy on my heart for quite some time. And I've been thinking of how do I never want to offend anyone. And I hope and pray I haven't, but I'm going to ask us as parents, I'm going to ask us as aunts, uncles, grandparents, friends, family, loved ones, whatever it may be, I'm going to ask for your help. We need your kids at camp. We need your kids attending young people's. We need your support. The youth need your support. They see the example that is set before them. And I'm not saying, brothers and sisters, that anyone here is bad, because I will tell you that I am very thankful of all of the support that the camp receives. I'm thankful of all of the support that our young peoples receive. But my prayer tonight is that we don't stop giving that. My prayer tonight is that we continue to look upon that investment. That investment is worth the time. That investment is worth the cost on our own part. My prayer is with each of you, and I ask that your prayer would be with me too.